Free Fire Radio. And now, Free Fire Radio is about to commence.
Good morning, North State, and welcome to Free Fire Radio right here on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. I think it looks like it's January the 11th, Bad Bob.
Indeed. Already zipping into the year.
Already. Hey, we're on a roll here. Yeah, our phone line's here, 530-605-4567. And we're streaming live on KCNR1460.com. It also allows you to go to our chat room and get involved with what's going on today. It's 7:06 in the morning and 37 degrees. You know, I think we've got some rain coming in here, Bob. Is that what I'm hearing? In fact, it looks like today rain, mainly after 10 a.m., high near 48 today. Light and variable wind. Chance of precipitation is 80% tonight. Rain, low around 38. And again, about an 80% chance of rain. Wednesday is going to be cloudy with a high near 51. Wednesday night, another chance of rain. Thursday, rain likely. Friday, it's going to be sunny again. That's good. Now, weather's always brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards. And Anselmo Vineyards has great lunches. They have just fantastic dinners, the ambiance. The staff up there treats you like kings. That's Anselmo Vineyards. It's just a little way out of Palo Cedro, heading towards Shingletown, about 15 minutes from there, off of Inwood Road. That's Anselmo Vineyards. Linda is on assignment, trying to get rid of a terrible, terrible cold that seems to be going around Redding, that everybody seems to have gotten except me, knock on wood. Bad Bob's had it. In fact, I'm not sure that's not where she got it from.
Yeah, find somebody to blame it on.
Well, you know, so it couldn't be the fact that she's been out in the snow and all those kind of things. But anyway, she's going to be back tomorrow, I hope.
Interesting article on Yahoo Health about how people who fought off the H1N1 last year apparently have developed some very hefty antibodies that may assist them with future outbreaks on variants on the so-called swine flu, that they developed some pretty good antibody protection. Now, that's just one study. It'll be interesting to see, but that could lead to a near-universal vaccine for these variants of the flu.
Who cares? Okay. Now,
you do if you get the thing.
You know, I've had so many shots and inoculations in my life going to so many different places. I'm not exactly sure what's just running through my body right now. But at least we can, at least hopefully it's keeping me well.
By the way, we're looking at the weather radar right now. If you're heading for the coast, maybe Eureka or someplace like that, it's looking pretty ugly through Trinity County. Take that into account. Highway 299 can get kind of nasty when there's rain and snow, and that's what we're seeing on the radar right now, Carl.
Okay. Yeah, well, we've been up in off of roads and with all the snow up there when you're heading up that direction, and it can be tough. You know, here's something else, my friends. If you're going out there and you do have to drive like that, I hope you bring just a bag, like a backpack or something that's got blankets, space blankets in it. You have water in your car. You've got kitty litter to throw underneath your tires to help you get some traction if you need to. A flashlight. Things like that, just that you should be carrying with you in your car anyway, especially in this kind of weather. For any reason you had to get off the road, at least you would have the basic essentials, you know, a way to light a fire, you know, a way to keep a fire going, those kind of things. Anyway, all right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to talk about the budget cuts, and these huge budget cuts that the state's facing, and the pain that the governor wants us to all to feel, and what kind of impacts it'll have on us right here in River City and Shasta County.
You can save your
1460, the home of Fire Radio, and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 712. It's January the 11th. Is it really January the 11th, 2011? It's 1-11-11 today. How about that? You didn't seem like you really, really enthused by that one, Bob. Okay, before we get into this thing where the budget's going to just be smacking us, they had the San Francisco Giants World Series trophy traveled here to Redding yesterday. And frankly, I thought, oh, okay, big deal. They had over 1,000 people who came to stand in the presence of the renowned World Series trophy. The trophy was supposed to be on display from 4 to 6 p.m., but officials said gates were closed 45 minutes early because too many people showed up. Isn't that interesting how you have over 1,000 people show up just to see a trophy like that?
Well, since we have no major league team of our own, we have to borrow one from San Francisco.
But to show up to see the trophy?
Yeah.
I mean, I can understand maybe going to a game, driving down there to see a game. But to come just to see a trophy? Were there any players with it?
That would have been worth the trip, I guess.
There's no trophy. There was no player standing there with it. He said 1,000 people had gone through the gates by 4:15 p.m., and then they had to close it down. Well, you know, that to me, yeah, I'm continually surprised. It's kind of like, I know, I'm like that horse. I wake up every morning in a new stall because I just don't remember. But that was astounding to me to have that many people show up just to look at a World Series trophy. It's not like you could call it something like if you had, like Turtle Bay had a Titanic exhibit. And, you know, you could see history there. Maybe this is it. Maybe this is part of history. That people feel like now they're part of history, that when the Giants won the World Series.
Well, it is, and it was a well-played series, and it went the distance, and they played a good series. And I'm a little more interested in that than I would be. I don't get that interested in Major League Baseball until they get down to the playoffs. So it was a well-done series, and no big scandals that we were aware of, and they fought a good fight. So I might have been interested, but I had other things on my mind.
Jimmy's saying, look at all the people that show up to see Lady Gaga. Is she the one that had the meat bikini? Was that her? I think it was.
I can't figure him, okay, her, it out.
All right. Okay, now let's go back. Let's go back to the budget. The Record Searchlight's got a good article today on front page about the local programs and what are facing cuts. And, there's going to be a lot of cuts to the programs we have here. However, it doesn't look like law enforcement is going to do that. Rural law enforcement doesn't get their funds slashed. That pay rural law enforcement agencies that target drug traffickers, do sexual assault investigations, and keep tabs on sex offenders. The budget would also benefit the Redding and Anderson police departments because they will no longer have to pay the Shasta County Sheriff's Office to book inmates. Okay, where's it going to start hitting? Education. While he's not touching local schools' budgets, he's leaving at current funding levels, with the caveat that voters approved the 5 years of tax and fee extensions. Did I mention that part of the budget? A five-year extension of the fees that we're paying now in taxes. And as one of the people that wrote in comments on this, and by the way, the shooting of the congresswoman had like 350 comments. The one on the budget had like 35. The comments had 35 comments, but one of them was, will these taxes and fees continue to be paid once the economy comes back and the budget's balanced? Or is this going to be something that sunsets once the budget's balanced again? Anyway, what they're saying is the school superintendent saying this looks okay, but the Shasta College vice president said that $400 million in cuts for the community colleges will mean cutting about $1.5 million at Shasta Community College, with the possibility of about $400,000 being backfilled. Okay, so if the taxes are approved, and you've already got comments on that, Senator LaMalfa, by the way, has said, while I've always been a supporter of local control, I'm concerned about the effect Governor Brown's plan will have on the 12 rural counties of the 4th District. Giving local government responsibility without funding relief from mandates and eliminating state agencies is a recipe to force the state's failures on the local government. The real solution to the budget for California has become a business-friendly state, et cetera, which is true, but you're not going to see that one right away. The Medi-Cal is being cut. CalWORKs is being cut. Fire. Some $250 million will be allocated to local governments for firefighting. Cal Fire would be focused on wildland firefighting. On a local level, Brown's budget would cut costs by having 3 firefighters manning CAL FIRE engines during fire season instead of 4. Health and Human Services Shasta County Public Health Director Donnell Everett said Brown's proposal to cut child care services for 11 and 12-year-olds is problematic. The Williamson Act, it looks like it's not going to be hit as bad, but it has been cut out. It eliminates the state's $35 million Williamson Act funding. However, it may not hit us as bad because of extra taxes being taken out earlier. The budget would slash parks by $11 million. It would completely close state parks with the lowest state attendance. There's also discussion of closing parks during the weekdays and off-peak seasons. The parks in the North State include MacArthur, Burney Falls Memorial, Castle Crags, Ide Adobe, and Weaverville, Joss House, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think there's anything wrong with that. During all seasons, it'd be closing them down for a few days if it saves money like that. Anyway, my friends, it's going to hurt. If what he says is going to hurt. Now, some other things that were said was they were also going to be cutting the people in contracts that had contracts, but he wasn't touching union contracts. Now we're going to do a little more research on that one. Why does the unions are not going to be cut is it wasn't quite clear on that, so I'm not going to get into that. And I saw good arguments on both ways on what they're saying. Well, wait a minute, how come non-union contracts and employees get pay cuts? Now, you know, they're talking about managers. Well, that's one thing. Managers taking a 7-10% pay cut. I can understand that. Now, I would also like to see, and I'm sure you would, from Brown, is a consolidation of departments at the state bureaucracy. How many of them are redundant? How many of them touch on each other's rice bowl that we could put like two or three departments into one? Let the people retire, let them go out, and then now you've cut government by 20-25%. We've got to do that. We've got to cut that government by 20-25% right away. Again, nothing was said about illegals. The people here illegally, why are we paying for that? I mean, you know, I believe in taking care of your neighbor, not if it means that you can't take care of yourself. What goes on with that? You know, there's no change that, not even mentioned. The funniest thing I saw was Gavin Newsom saying, hey, I'm going to concentrate on jobs. Got to take a break here. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Yeah, welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott. It's 1-11-11, and we're racing into February. I'm getting to February soon enough. Valentine's Day, Bad Bob. Have you already got a present for Mrs. Bad Bob?
Indeed.
You know what? You probably do. You're just trying to make the rest of us look really bad, aren't you?
I just made that up on the spot, really.
Okay. Hey, this portion of the show brought to you by B&T Satellite. Doug Tooley, a veteran, puts in Dish Satellite, does a great job. He has rebates for if you call him at 244-1988, you might get your, because I think the rebates are still going. But he has those rebates, which can get you Dish Satellite for free for a month or two. He's moved. He's at 1345 Liberty Street. That's where the 44 is kind of, you know, as you're leaving town, right there at that building. That's that building with a large parking lot. You can't miss it when you're coming in. And again, his phone number is 244-1988. He puts in Dish Satellite, and he does a great job. He has put the system in our house, and we're really happy. Okay, one of the comments said is that we spend $29 million a year on taking care of illegals and incarcerating them. And right there, we can save a lot of money. Let's just hand them back over to the feds. Of course, the feds, like, they're not having enough problems. Okay, this is just the overview. Are you ready for this? The state's division of juvenile justice would be completely eliminated by 2014. Parole counties are going to be fully responsible for monitoring adult parolees. We talked about the parks being slashed $11 million. The Medi-Cal being cut $1.7 billion. The counties would take over the duties of jailing low-level inmates and parolees who are being booked into the prison for sentences shorter than 90 days. Williamson Act, we talked about, eliminating that. $200 million slashed from the California's courts and $1.4 billion from the schools, but not the local school budgets. This is a state universities and community college. So if you're going to college or university that's state-supported, you could probably count on your tuition fees, mom and dad. You're paying those tuition fees now. You can just kind of count on those going sky high. Anyway, the the basic thing is it's going to impact on us down here two ways. We got the taxes. There's going to be a vote on that to extend the taxes for 5 years. I would hope that there would be something in this that said once the budget's balanced that these taxes would be start graduating them out earlier than 5 years, but I don't expect to see that. I expect to see is if we get the, you know, we cut all this and everybody pays higher taxes and higher fees, is that we'll probably keep that money for a rainy day. I think he even said something about a rainy day fund. Well, the as one person commented, you mean it's not a rainy day yet? Well, yeah, it is. It's a big rainy day right here. All right, what else is going on? You know, I find it, it started with, you know, what's going on, you know, with everybody says take a step back. You know, let's take a deep breath here after with the shooting of the congresswoman. And if anything, it's lit the fire on some people. And you can imagine it's the things you're starting to see. You know, the gun control are coming out. They're coming out with things like had the federal assault weapons ban, which Congress let expire in 2004, remained in effect, Saturday's shooting in Tucson would likely have killed and injured far fewer people. If you had a revolver or a knife or a clip under 10 rounds, a lot more people would be alive today or not shot. That was Brian Malti of the Malti of the Brady campaign to prevent gun violence. That was, you know, that's a gun control group.
So
there.
It was Bush's fault.
You know, the thing about it is that gun control advocates are reminding lawmakers and the public of how readily disturbed shooters can obtain rapid-fire weaponry. Well, okay. I'm not sure that's true. I think also is, what about the people that, that you know, the major? And I go back to Fort Hood, Texas. Was there something, you know, is there something mentally deranged about anybody that goes out and kills people? That goes out and kills one person? Is it the numbers? What about the murderer back in at Virginia Tech that killed 31 people? Did he have high capacity magazines? Did it make any difference? You know what makes the difference is the fact that that one person can walk into a crowd and shoot, whether it's a 10 round magazine or 20 round magazine. Whether it's a 5-round magazine, whether it's a revolver or not, that he walks into a crowd, and please don't take this wrong, but if you can start shooting, why people who are able to arm themselves legally don't? The police will never be able to protect you all the time. The government will not be able to protect you all the time. And at some point, you have to take it on yourself. And I hate to say this because some people think, oh my God, I can never do that. At some point, you're going to have to take care of yourself. Carl Lindabot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott. It is 7:34 in the morning. It's 37 degrees. Looks like weather's going to start changing. We're going to start getting rain here this week for the next couple of days. It's the 11th of January, or 1-11-11, and we won't be able to say this again until Veterans Day. Then we'll go 11-11-11. I don't know if that makes any difference. Does it make you feel lucky?
Not if you're a numerologist.
Oh, okay. Got it. All right. Now that we were talking about, there's a number of things we're going to be talking about here. At 8 o'clock, we've got Tim Pappas coming in. He's a constitutional lawyer. And Don Yost from the American Civil Liberties Union. And we're going to be talking about the library. And how, you know, the library had people out in front, and they said, okay, look, we're going to restrict your ability to do that. Well, that caused some consternation. You're restricting our freedom of speech at the library? And the library was doing it in such a way so that they wanted to make sure that people were not being, you know, harassed when they're coming in to use the library. Not saying that the people that they had talked to about it were harassing people, but so the Northern Alliance Tea Party, I believe that's the name of it, went and said this is not fair, and we need to change this. So at that point, then the ACLU got into it, saying, you know, this is a restriction on free speech, and we are not, you know, we don't agree with this either. So I don't know if this is a tempest in a teapot, but, you know, any types of restrictions of freedom of speech impacts on all of us are just our freedoms, period. So they're going to come in today and talk about how they banded together to take on this, you know, this perceived move on our freedom of speech or a constriction on it. Let's go to the phones. Bruce, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Did there some guy call in earlier and say that the cost for illegal immigration was only $29 million?
No, I think he said it was for keeping people in jail.
Oh, okay.
I'd have to go back and look at it, though.
The total cost of $10.5 billion, you go on U.S. government info about that on the computer, it's $1,183 a year for every household here. I mean, this is such a huge number, and I don't understand why Brown hasn't even mentioned it.
Well, you know what? There hasn't been a California governor mention it in what?
Yeah, well, I know, but I mean, we're talking some serious bucks here. At $10.5 billion, I mean, that's a big number.
You know, what serious money to me is something like $1 million. But, you know, this is where we've gotten to, that you're into the billions before. Well, you know, this is pretty serious. Well, you know, right now they're cutting back on for medical care for our children, for mental health for people. They're cutting back on our universities. And I bet illegals still have the right to pay in-state tuition.
I bet they do, and they can walk into any outpatient deal and get free service there. And
you know, emergency rooms are supposed to be for emergencies. That's what I look at. You know, if you walk in, you're bleeding or somebody ill or something, I mean, really sick, okay, let's fix them. But then let's send them home, you know, at that point. And everybody, oh, but they wouldn't come in. Well, okay, but that's their choice.
Well, our prison
system is
overloaded with them, and it's just one huge issue that's been festered for a long time. I think it ought to be forefront, so... Anyhow, we let somebody else weigh in on it. For the whole country, it shows $338.3 billion.
You know, and, you know, oh, but we get money back from, oh, we did, you know, that's crap. Here it is you want to end the illegal problem. It's simple. You go after the businesses that are hiring them. You say that before you come in. If you want to rent a house, fine. Just show that you're a legal citizen.
Absolutely.
Before you go to school, show us that you're a legal citizen. And you know what? We don't have to deport people.
No, they'll self-deport.
That's right.
We've got some junior congressmen coming up. I don't know whether you saw their proposals, but they're great. And they're going after the businesses under the realm of the U.S. Treasury. They're going after that if you have to do the e-verify check, and then if they audit you, and you've got illegals on your payroll, then you can't deduct any of those wages you paid them, and they charge you penalties. I mean, that thing might have enough teeth in it to work.
Well, maybe. Let's hope. Let's hope like that happens.
Guys.
You know what? The thing is that it's not a hard solution. You don't have to put people on the border. Arizona's proven that. You do things like this. You pass a couple of laws, and boom, you know, people start going someplace else. Unfortunately, they all came to California. Anyway, thank you. Okay, the chat room's really hot, and they're talking about the shooting and about concealed carry. And there's a couple of good points in here. Son says, you know, I don't know if I can pull a weapon, if I'm that good, to pull the trigger on somebody. That's a really important part. You know, son, that's important. You know, when we're doing in certain kinds of jobs in the military, in extremist jobs, our troops were given a psychological test. And the test was, I mean, these were really good Marines. The test was, can you pull the trigger on another living person, on a human being, even if they're terrorist? Can you pull the trigger? That was a big question. Then the next question was, can you stop pulling the trigger? In other words, can you do precise shooting? Can you shoot and then stop shooting? And I know that sounds strange or ridiculous, but it's true. You know, because you can pull the trigger doesn't mean that once it starts that something else in your makeup will keep you pulling the trigger when you don't have to.
Wasn't that a great line in The Unforgiven? Clint Eastwood says, "It's a hell of a thing killing a man."
Well, the point is that other people are saying, you know, and I've said it. If you know, people with concealed carry, or in Arizona, which has some of the most liberal carry laws in the nation. What would happen if somebody there was carrying, who had been there when this guy starts to shoot, and it pulled their weapon and shot him? You know, some people in here are saying, well, it could have turned into a massive shootout. Well, maybe, maybe not. But the point is that, you know, he shot 19 people. What about the that crazy guy or the murderer back at Virginia Tech when he executed 30 people. 30 people. He had them in rooms. He had them, and he just started shooting them, and they didn't do anything. None of them went for him. Nobody resisted. Nobody tried to go after him. I think there was one professor who had been in, I think, a concentration camp that tried to close the door. He shot through the door and killed him, walked in and shot more people. They let him shoot them. There's something wrong here. There's absolutely something wrong here in our society when we let that happen. You've got to be able to protect yourself. You've got to be able to take that stand. Now, Sungold, you're absolutely right. If you don't feel prepared to do that, then that's the last thing you should do. Get out of the area. Get your people out of the area. But if you carry a weapon, you should be prepared and you should be trained. Okay, get this? You should be trained on how to use it. If you're going to carry a weapon, you should be trained on how to use it and when to use it. There are occasions when things happen that you're maybe the best thing you should do is walk away. If you're there and something's starting to happen, get out of that area because you don't know what's going to happen there. That may be the best solution. Others is to save yourself and the lives of others. Got to take a break. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. It's Carl and Linda Bott. 7:45 in the morning on January 11th, 2011. 605-4567 is our phone number. And, of course, KCNR1460.com. We're streaming on. And if you have a little problem hearing it, you're out there in Palo Cedro in some of the spots or Anderson in some of those spots, just hop on the computer and you can start hearing us. And you can jump into the chat room, too. This portion of the show is brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive, finest walk-in humidor in the state. Espresso Joe's, great coffee. It's cold out there. Go in there and pick the coffee. Choose the coffee that you want, and the girls will fix it, and they'll do it well at a great price for you. That's Tobacco and Brew, Joe and Shelley, great Americans. Support our community, support our veterans, and want... You know, they truly want what's best for our community. It's when you meet people like that, you just have to admire them. That's Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Well, the chat room is still going into it about the mall and the shooting that was going on. If I was at a mall and some nut job started shooting innocent people, I would imagine having a novice with a CCW in the immediate area would be better than waiting 5 to 10 minutes for the police to arrive. Okay, here's, again, if you're going to carry a weapon, you should be proficient with it. You should have a lot of time at the range. You should try to avail yourself of instruction, extra instruction. Because, carrying a weapon is not just I've got a concealed carry permit. There's a lot more to it, as Sungold has said, and others have said. You may be a novice. You may never have been in a gunfight. In fact, I would say that 99% have never been in a gunfight. But you know what? That's, if your training is there and you are truly trained, then having a weapon is, can help a situation. If you're totally untrained and you pull your weapon, it should be at the very last resort that people around you are being killed and that you might have a chance to stop it. But again, if you're going to carry a weapon, you should have as much training as you can possibly afford and you can possibly put in. And a lot of it is just shooting, putting the weapon in your hand and shooting at targets, just shooting so that you're familiar with it. Anyway, we'll get off that. We're going to go into, we talked about how this should tone down the political rhetoric. Not so fast. As you can imagine, Keith Olbermann said, if Sarah Palin does not repudiate her own part, however tangential, in amplifying violence and violent imagery in American politics, she must be dismissed from politics. And the other liberal sides have jumped onto that. Of course, Limbaugh and Beck and several others, on their shows have said, that, oh, no, 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 this is just the left trying to to silence the conservatives. I'm not sure what's going on with that, but I do know is there was one of the people that a commenter on the Record Searchlight, and he goes by, I think, by the name Buzz Fetterjom, something like that. Very, very cynical, very much could get into the attack mode. And he wrote yesterday that he was hanging up his spurs, that he realized that he was part of this, that, you know, he didn't listen to people. He just had to get his comments in there, no matter what they sounded like. So Buzz is hanging up his spurs and saying, I'm not going to do that anymore. You know, I'm part of the problem, so I'm quitting that. And he says, when I come back on again, it will be by, and I'll be using my real name.
There we go.
And you know what? That he is absolutely, I don't know who Buzz is. And, I, you know, I've seen the things he's written, and I don't agree with most of them, but some of them I do agree. You know, he's a bright person, obviously. But here's what it is that he talks about this anonymous attacks on people that you see in a Record Searchlight.
Oh, man.
And it's not just a Record Searchlight, it's all these bloggers out there. But the bottom line is this, and he said it, and it's been said so many times before, you get people making anonymous comments at others they would never say to their faces. They would never put this in print if their name was associated with it. They would never do this. Why? Because they feel they can have this vitriolic, this spewing of hate and nastiness. This making the other person, trying to denigrate them and destroy them anonymously. You know, what's going on with that?
With great power comes great responsibility, and we've got so much power in this communication. Parallel could be drawn with a concealed carry. That is great power, and you must have great responsibility, and I don't think a lot of people are up to that task. Unfortunately, trying to figure out who does and who doesn't is more, that's above my pay grade.
Well, the thing about it is this, is, you know, we're out here making our comments. You know, you don't have to agree with them or not. And people, you know, and I've noticed on our chat room here, I do not see that type of that type of behavior, that people are being nasty with each other. People on this, they may not agree in our chat room, but they do. You know, they're civil with each other, which is our entire rule. This is probably one of the only rules we have here, besides, you know, Bad Bob having to come in early and do some things, is that we're civil with each other. And, you know, gosh, it works. Hey, we got to take a break here. Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 7:54 in the morning, January 11th, 2011. It's 37 degrees today. It's going to get a grand total of up to 48. So I wouldn't be running around outside in your shorts just yet. But we're going to probably get some rain today after 10 a.m. Chance of precipitation is 80%. It's going to be raining tonight also. Wednesday, cloudy with a chance of rain. And Thursday, rain likely. Thursday night, cloudy. Friday, it looks like it's going to be pretty good. Saturday, it looks like we may start clouding up again. And Bob, you said you were looking at the weather. It looks like it's moving in.
Yeah, it looks like this system is moving to the south, though. But 299, I'm looking at Burnt Ranch, Big Bar, especially if you're going to Hayfork in those areas. It's pretty darned ugly on the radar. But 299, according to the last update, clearing off because the weather system's kind of spiraling to the south. We are seeing some rain moving north up the valley, however. Okay. And it looks like I-5 north through the canyon is starting to see snow.
Well, you know, again, as we talked about, be prepared. And, you know, you should always carry something in your car in case an accident happens. You go off the side of the road for some reason and you get someplace where people don't see you right away. You should always have a, you know, if you want to call it a survival kit, then that's what you should have. You should have, you know, something in there to put some traction under the wheels of your car. In
jugs
case
of water,
off.
Blanket, cat water. Sand, yeah. Throw under the wheels. Shovel.
Flashlight. Ray Destroyer, a way to move your body from, what do they call it on Star Trek? A transporter? A transporter there. A couple of things like that, all in the back of the car.
Actually, a cheap CB is handy, too, because in the you don't need a license for a CB radio. Truckers are all equipped with CB, and there's a lot of places, especially up the canyon, where a cell phone just, it's a paperweight.
I know. Okay, we've got just a few minutes, and then our guest coming in, Tim Pappas and Don Yost. You know, in the chat room, they're talking about they're again, we're still talking about people being armed, the armed, you know, an armed populace. We're talking about a, you know, the right to own weapons and to carry weapons. And the fact is that you have to practice. If you're going to carry, you need to practice with those weapons. And the other thing, too, is it's would people hesitate because of political correctness not to engage? And I'm not too sure that would happen. The people that actually believe in the reason they're carrying is to protect themselves should always be prepared for that. They should always be at a heightened state of alert, which will keep you out of trouble also. But, you know, this is completely other shows that we have set up here for in the near future. We're going to have shows on surviving disasters, and that should take a 3 or 4 hours, you know, during the week to talk about what happens if we have a disaster, how do you protect yourself, and then what about just being prepared when on the bad streets. And it doesn't even mean you have to be carrying a weapon. But you can be prepared. You can be in a state of readiness that allows you to avoid trouble, which is the bottom line, avoiding trouble. Okay, before we go on, we have on our last story here is that, you know, Gates is, you know, it's Department of Defense Gates. This is the one that is getting ready to cut back on military health care. Oh, yeah, for the veterans. Yeah, that's just one of the things they're doing. They're doing away with systems. And at this point, you know, so we're looking at the future. And Gates says is that North Korea is going to be a huge problem in 5 years. Okay, that's about the time that we've cut back all of our troops. And that means we might have to train some more. Okay, all right. But that's, you know, 5 years. Hey, that's 5 years down the road. Who knows who'll be president then? And then China confirmed it held its first test flight of a stealth fighter jet on Tuesday. And Gates said, I asked President Hu about it directly, and he said the test had absolutely nothing to do with my visit and had been a pre-planned test. Ha, ha, ha. Gates, Gates, please tell me you don't believe that. The thing about this is that this jet, which could potentially evade detection by foes, is one of their top weapons, and it may actually be able to outdo our F-22 in speed and maneuverability. It could pose the greatest threat yet to U.S. air superiority. This is pretty serious, my friends. We're talking about downgrading, and if you remember what I said, I'm not concerned. We got, 30 seconds?
Yeah.
I'm not concerned so much about, you know, people hiding in caves. I mean, it's always going to be something. China is building a hell of a military. They're going to stealth fighters. They're going into the type of technology that we probably gave to them 15 years ago. Stand by. There's more. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media.
You're listening to KCNR Shasta Redding.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio and KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, good morning. 8:05, it's January the 11th, 2011. I say 2011 because sometimes you just kind of keep saying that to get it in your head. Linda has her own way of doing it. She writes multiple checks, and that way at some point she's getting 2011 in there. And Linda's not here today. Linda has caught whatever has been sweeping through the city. And when I saw her, she was covered up. She had all the tissues there. She had orange juice, and she had elk killer laying up next to her to keep her warm. So, Bad Bob's here. Bad Bob, what's
good
the weather
morning
today?
Well, we're looking at
37 degrees.
Yeah, we're at 38 degrees, and it looks like snow to the west of us, rain coming up the valley. So if you're going to go traveling, especially in the mountain areas, keep that in mind. Chance of rain increasing throughout the afternoon, and pretty good chance by this evening.
Okay, and this portion of the show is brought to you by Crystal Air. Crystal Air, they have just a number of facts that you can find out when you hit their website. But before you go solar, go geo. By reducing your energy requirements of your heating and air conditioning system with a geo exchange system, you can downsize your solar requirements. And that's Crystal Air at 530-623-1000, or you can just go to the website crystalair.info.
Did I mention that the weather brought to you by Anselmo Vineyards?
Anselmo Vineyards, and in fact, another great place. You go up there for dinner, for lunch. It's open for lunch, dinner, and it's a short ride out of town. But the food is just absolutely outstanding. The wait staff makes you feel like they're members. You're a member of their family. The wine, of course, is outstanding. And Anselmo's Vineyard, it's on the way up about 12 miles outside of Palisito, heading toward Shingletown. Our guest today, and we appreciate the gentleman showing today to be able to talk about something that's been in the news. It's kind of out of the news, but there's a number of other things that could pop up on this. Is Tim Pappas, who is the legal counsel for the Northern Tea Party Alliance, and Don Yost, who is the chair for the American Civil Liberties Union of Northern California. Good morning, gentlemen.
Morning.
Good morning.
You know, the reason that we invited you all here today was something that was somewhat of something that was kind of out of the ordinary, is when we saw Tim and the Northern Tea Party Alliance and Don and the ACLU kind of joining together on one subject in agreeing, and that was what was happening at the Shasta County Library. A perceived or a constriction of our right, freedom of speech. And Tim, do you want to start with this? And what started this?
Well, actually, I got to say the entire incident started when one brave lady, Sue Ann Prigmore, decided that for Constitution Week in 2010, she wanted to put a table outside the library so that she could pass out free constitutions and pass out famous sayings from our founding fathers regarding the Constitution, and she ran smack head into resistance from the city government. And when they initially wanted to censor her material, they literally told her that they would have to read and approve some of the materials that were on the table. Because she had been in my Constitution class, she realized that any time government begins to censor anything or want to approve the contents of any writing, there's trouble brewing. And so she gave me a call.
Now, has the library ever done that before? Does anybody know?
According to all the comments that were made at the time that this blew up in September of 2010, the city said that no one had ever asked to set up a table outside the library before. So I can only gain from that this was the first instance that somebody wanted to literally sit outside the library to do something.
That's interesting. That seems kind of, if that's what they say.
Yeah, and I know I have a hard time believing that because I ran into somebody else who had indicated that one day he was passing out material in front of the library, and he was met by some library personnel. I can't remember who it was, but he was told to leave the library campus. And instead of contacting an attorney, he left the campus and walked across the way.
Okay, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to go to the next step, and then we're going to get to Don. And then when Don and his crew rolled in on this, I can imagine just the consternation at some levels of city government. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:13 in the morning, January 11th. It's about 38 degrees out there. This portion of the show is brought to you by B&T Satellite. 244-1988, Doug Tooley, 82nd Airborne veteran, been in the business 15 years, puts in Dish Satellite. He does a great job. He's got rebates right now that you can get free Dish HD. Just give him a call at 244-1988, talk to Doug or talk to Heather. He's got a new location now. He's downtown Reading, 1345 Liberty Street. That's B&T Satellite. My guest, Tim Pappas, a legal counsel to the Northern Tea Party Alliance, and Don Yost, chairman for the ACLU of Northern California. Good morning, Don.
Good morning. I should make it clear that it's only for the Shasta-Tehama Trinity County branch of the ACLU of Northern California, so I'm not the chair for all of Northern California.
Well, that's still impressive. Come on, you're right up there, and it's and the fact that you stood up. I'm going to make a stand. I've got something to say, and doing this, whether it's three counties or five counties or one county, You're there in the fight.
Well, thank you.
Well, we respect people that stand up and get into the fight. When did the ACLU get involved with this question? I know that it started out, you know, Tim, you know, at first with the Tea Party, but then you all said, whoa, and waved the flag.
Exactly. We of course, are concerned with the Constitution and our freedoms that freedom to speak and to freedom of the press. And when the Tea Party had the problem, we decided to weigh in as well to say that it appeared that there were some serious questions about the policies that the city of Reading have with regard to the library, and that it was impinging on our freedom of speech and our freedom of the press, for that matter, with the passing out literature.
Yeah, Tim, so this marriage made in heaven between the ACLU and the Tea Party. Okay, so the lady came to you and said, this isn't right.
Right.
Obviously, you know, Don and your organization said this isn't right. So what was the next step then?
Well, actually, back in September, I had a meeting with Rick DeVernay, the city attorney, and indicated that no one wants really to, you know, fight about this, that we want some type of resolution, and the city agreed to allow the tables to go out in front of the library. There were no real policies. I mean, these were very respectful women. They weren't out there, you know, passing around radical information. They were talking about the Constitution. So the city said, yeah, you can set up the table for Constitution Week. So they set up the table out there, and we had another run-in in the middle of it where there was an allegation that a city officer was harassing those sitting at the table. And it was confirmed by an independent citizen not related to the library or the Tea Parties. He just happened to be visiting the library, observed interaction between the city person and the people sitting at the table, and became so upset that he went to the city manager.
City person, you mean like a librarian?
No, I'm talking about the community services director for the city, a department head.
Who's that?
Kim Niemer.
Kim Niemer, okay.
So he actually beat me to the city manager's office because I got an emergency phone call from Sue Ann Prigmore again, went down to the library to find out what was going on. They explained what I just said, and so I went to the city manager to find out what we could do to resolve the issue so the ladies could be left alone, and I was met by the city manager and that citizen who had come forward to protect what the ladies were doing out in front of the library.
And then what happened?
Then we had a long meeting. The city manager agreed, it was a gentleman's agreement, that we could, or that the city would come up with guidelines that would help everybody in the future to decide, you know, how you're going to conduct yourselves out in front of the library, something that everybody could agree to. And we said, fine, guidelines are great. And they,
I think there should be guidelines. Don, do you have, I mean, is there any problem with that, depending on what the guidelines are, as far as behavior out in front of the library?
In terms of behavior, I think that probably is smart, that people don't cause problems. But it appears from all the literature I've read from the city that they're micromanaging the whole thing. They want to have a restriction on tables, the number of chairs, things like that, which I think, once again, becomes a restriction on our liberties.
Well, that's, you know, that's different. To me, that's completely different than behavior. Like, if you can't go up and badger people as they're going into the library, that kind of thing. That, to me, is, or scream at them or yell at them. That, to me, is a behavior thing. Tables, chairs, the size of the tables.
The plant's 18 inches apart.
The plant's 18 inches apart thing. Don't get me started.
As long as tables and chairs are not blocking the entrance, I think that there should not be any problem.
Yep.
Well, but that's not what happened, right?
No, because then the city put out what became a proposed policy, which took us all by surprise.
Okay, now, let's just hold on that one. We have a break here because I want to get into that for our next segment. This is Carl Lindebaugh, Free Fire Radio. Our guests are Don Yost, chairman for the ACLU Northern, okay, not quite all the Northern California, but three counties up here, and Tim Pappas, who is the legal counsel for the Northern Tea Party Alliance. Join us after these messages. Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda Bott, 8:22 in the morning, January 11th. It's about 38 degrees out there. Our guest, Don Yost, who is chairman of the ACLU up here in the northern three counties, Shasta, Tehama, and
Trinity.
And Tim Pappas,
who is the legal counsel for the Northern Tea Party Alliance. So, welcome aboard, gentlemen. We're really glad you're here. Okay, now, we've been back, and the last thing I believe was said was they started putting out a surprise restriction.
Well, it was a policy. Instead of a guideline, all of a sudden they throw out this policy, and it took us all by surprise, which is why we took the next step. We alerted all of the Tea Party members, and the Tea Party has a pretty fantastic communication capability to alert their members to emergency matters that are before government, and we had over 60 people show up at the Board of Trustees meeting prepared to talk for hours and hours and hours about the reasons why the proposed policy tread upon the First Amendment. But then Councilwoman Stegall decided that at the very beginning of it, that it was best to send it back to the drawing board when we explained that when we were first told these were going to be guidelines, now they were turned into policy, that we were taken aback and we weren't given an opportunity to weigh in on them.
So it was a, and if I remember right from the paper, I don't know, there may be a later article about that, you had, you know, that you all had meetings with them. Was this afterwards, or was this a...
The second meeting I had with the city manager, the citizen complainer, and I don't want to call him a complainer, the citizen hero is what I call him.
Right.
And Rick DeVernay, because he came in later on in the meeting, where mm-hmm. we had come to a gentleman's agreement that the city would adopt guidelines. That was the last meeting we had with the city before these policy proposals came out. So that's why it took us back.
Okay. And Don, you've got some paperwork there that obviously from the city. Is this part of what they're trying to do?
Yeah, it's the draft of their policy on the outdoor, so-called outdoor public forum. But they want to have what they refer to as limited free speech activity. So
they call it limited free speech?
Exactly.
Isn't that an oxymoron?
Well, they call it a limited public forum, and I took umbrage with that in my opposition letter that I mailed to the city.
Okay. So, all right, so it's a limited public forum or limited free speech option that you're talking about. Okay. So where are we right now then with this? I mean, when you see this, is this not policy yet? Is that correct?
No, it's not, and they're looking to receive input until the beginning, or let's see, the middle of January, and then there is to be February 2nd, the Public Library Citizens Advisory Committee is supposed to meet to basically look over what kind of public comments there have been and revisit the policy.
Who's on this council, this library council?
The Citizens Committee is actually appointed by different members of the council, and it's found in the municipal code. It's a unofficial advisory to the Board of Trustees. The Board of Trustees is actually the city council that sits as the library board mm-hmm. of trustees.
Okay. Well, so where are we then? Are they going to be able to restrict free speech?
Well, the seven-page letter I wrote laid out a long history of U.S. Supreme Court and California Supreme Court decisions that weigh on the very topics that they included in their policy. If the city attempts to pass any of those, then they're the ones that are inviting the litigation. And we're more than happy to do it if that's what it comes to. We'd like the council to recognize the limitations that government has when it comes to the First Amendment. And we have no opposition to the last part of their policy, which is to impose behavioral rules, such as you can't harass, intimidate, you can't touch people, you can't block the ingress and egress of the library. Those are common sense rules that anybody can understand have to be followed in a organized society. But anything less than that, in our view, violates the tenets of the First Amendment, and we're prepared to fight.
The other thing I was concerned about, I've been in touch with our legal counsel in San Francisco, and Tim, you made a point about the City Hall and that whole area, the parks and all. Could you talk a little bit about that? Because our legal counsel agreed that you had a very valid point.
Yeah, the first part of my letter talks about Rick DeVernay's statement to the Board of Trustees that the library was a limited public forum. And I know it kind of sounds weird, but there are three different types of forums. There's a public forum, designated forum, often called a limited public forum, and a non-forum. And there are different rules that apply in each of those designated forums. These were created by the U.S. Supreme Court. When he said it was a limited public forum, what he was trying to do is he was trying to shift the burden that the city would have in imposing rules to a less onerous burden than one of a public forum. So my point was that the library is situated between two public parks, which are directly abutted to the city hall. And if you look down from an aerial view, go to Google Earth and look down, you can't tell where one ends and the other begins. And the argument was, therefore, the entire area from City Hall to South Park is a city park, and it's a public forum, because that, according to the U.S. Supreme Court, is the traditional venue for the people's expression of their rights under the First Amendment.
Okay, so it's not just a library sidewalk.
Correct.
Now we're talking entire areas. And is this applicable, somebody just said, is this applicable on all city property then?
No. And that's a good example, because, you look down from a Google Earth view, you're going to see that there's one building that's been offset in that entire campus by fences and other security measures. That, the U.S. Supreme Court says, is a clear enough message that that area is not a true public forum. It may fall under one of the other two designations, but it's not a true public forum. So government can, through designation or otherwise, limit areas, and actually Rick DeVernay got one right, because the city's sanitation transfer station would not be a public forum. That's a good way to get yourself killed with those garbage trucks coming in and out. So he got that one right.
Okay. Well, we're getting ready to take a break. What do we got?
About a minute, a little over a minute.
Okay. Well, it's not a lot to say in there, but just a quick yes or no, or maybe or no, is that are you satisfied with so far with what's going on? With are they listening to us, the people?
Well, I'm satisfied to the, and I'm not sure about the ACU, I'm satisfied in that the city is at least considering our objections. Now, that's as far as my satisfaction goes so far, because history has shown that although the city may listen, they have a tendency to do what they darn well please, the Constitution
right.
Be damned.
Don?
Yeah, I think it's a wait-and-see situation. I have to admit, getting a letter from Rick DeVernay in inviting us to participate in the Citizens Advisory Committee was interesting insofar as it didn't indicate a location or a time. It told a date.
we're going to keep it. It's one of those secret, double-secret probation-type meetings. Okay, look, we got to take a break here. Carl and Linda Bott, Free Fire Radio. We're talking about freedom of speech, freedom of, our freedoms here in our own River City. This is KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Join us after these messages. 1460, the home of Free Fire Radio on KCNR. 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Phone lines here are 605-4567, and we're streaming and chatting. We have new people on here that we haven't seen before. You're more welcome in our chat room. You're more than welcome. Let's hear what you have to say. It's 8:34 in the morning. It's November. It's January the 11th. It's 38 degrees. This portion of the show is brought to you by Cypress Square Barbershop. That's right off Athens Avenue. DC and Tim and a man in black. Great haircuts. They give veterans a discount. It's a barbershop, my friends. It's not a styling place. You want to go in there and get your hair, moosed, you're in the wrong spot. In fact, after they all stop giggling at you, they'll point you right next door to the hair salon next door for you. Man's last stronghold. That's what it says. That's what it means. They give great haircuts. They give veterans discounts. And they do. They trim beards according to Bad Bob. They did a good job there, Bad Bob. DC looks like he cut his initials in that one spot, but that's okay. The Cypress Square Barbershop. Hey, our guests today are Don Yost, chairman for the ACLU for the northern three counties of California, Shasta, Tehama, and Trinity. And, of course, Tim Pappas, who is the legal counsel for the Northern Tea Party Alliance. And we have John on the phone. John, good morning.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Linda in absentia, Bad Bob, Tim, and Don.
Morning.
Good morning.
Hey, this seems to be more a case of local bureaucrats parochializing their area of domain. Not uncommon abuse, not unlike the Forest Service and Park Service shutting down access to the public facilities. I particularly find it offensive that the city is trying to define free speech. My question is, are you and the you, Tim, and the ACLU willing and able to fight this through to conclusion? Is there funding to see it, to come out successful?
Well, for the North State Tea Party Alliance, they are beginning to, or they created a legal defense fund, an education legal defense fund, for these types of lawsuits, should they be needed to control government's overreach. And I know the ACLU has the wherewithal once they step in.
Right, but we have to depend on a committee, the legal committee in San Francisco. They are the ones that determine whether we file a suit or not.
Whether or not this is an issue they want to invest
into.
In.
Exactly.
Okay, that's pretty much what I was wondering. And if there is a defense fund, where we contribute to it?
The defense fund, probably the best way to get money into the defense fund is either to work through one of the North State Tea Party Alliance members. It could be the Sons of Liberty, Bostonians, Mad for Shasta, and there's like nine of them now, nine or ten of them, so it's hard to remember.
That was also one of the questions that came in. How many tea parties are there in Shasta County?
There's quite a few.
There are.
Yeah.
Because they're because different tea party groups grow up in different areas.
Right.
But that doesn't mean they're not aligned with each other.
Yeah. And matter of fact, the North State Tea Party Alliance created the alliance because each of these smaller tea parties had their own niche, and it was they felt themselves more effective by coming together and using their little niches and expertise for different areas of concern by using group power.
I know that there's two main Tea Party organizations here in Shasta County that have spread.
Right.
And I say spread, that they've brought in other groups of people that believe as they do.
Right,
in alliances. And so there's different alliances. Anyway,
absolutely.
I hope that answers everybody's question. John, thanks a lot.
Good luck fighting that bureaucratic parochialism.
Yeah, we're not going to. You know what? This is something that that Don and Tim have agreed to come back after the meeting here on. What day was that, Don? Do you have that?
It's the 2nd of February.
2nd of February. And tell us kind of what's going on. So we kind of want to be involved in this. You know, any time that our freedoms are restricted, we have a real problem with that. And, you know, and people have got to understand is that Once that's taken away, it's hard getting it back. Let's fight it right at the beginning, like you all are doing, and stand up to it. Because if you don't, it could be a real battle at that point.
Absolutely.
I found it really interesting that the paper quoted Kim Niemer, the public services officer, as saying that everyone that she'd spoken with had indicated that they were fine with the policy, and it struck me at the time that. When did freedom of speech become a popularity contest?
That's absolutely true. And one of the things that we are here for is when something like that happens, is to give a voice.
Yeah,
you know, to give a voice for the, you know, for the freedom of thought and for people to stand up. That's what Free Fire Media is about. And if you look at our programming, you'll know that. You know, we've got our community's here, and that's what, you know, we love this community. And if we have things like this, Don, you've always got a voice right there at that microphone. Tim and all the people that are fighting for our freedoms.
Absolutely. When I taught the Constitution class, I taught over 66 hours of the Constitution for those who just wanted to know about the Constitution. The first thing we talked about was when good people acquiesce to government intrusion into the Constitution, you are allowing the government to control your life. You can no longer sit by, act like a couch potato, and just let the government do what they want to do. You have to stand up for a purpose and a reason.
Okay. All right. We've got to take a quick break here. Our guest, Tim Pappas from the Northern Tea Party Alliance, and Don Yost, chairman of the Northern Three Counties of the ACLU. When we come back, we're going to finish this discussion and go into another subject that I'm interested in, that a lot of people are talking about in the chat room. Carl Lundebot, Free Fire Radio, KCNR 1460.
Maybe I'm on the law, and the law one. I'm on the law, and the law one.
Slow down, you move too fast.
Do you need more get up and go? Hi, I'm Dr. Trudy Pratt. I've had a chiropractic and nutrition practice in Reading for nearly 20 years. Listen to my radio show at 10 o'clock a.m. on Saturday mornings. It's called Positively Healthy, the same name as my monthly column in the Record Searchlight. My show is sponsored by East Earth Tradewinds and the Lazy 69 Ranch.
holidays are over and it's time to start a new year by joining the revolution at Bastiani Arms. Bastiani Arms is here to provide the finest names in weapons, ammunition, optics, and accessories. We also offer repairs and custom gunsmithing. Bastiani Arms is pleased to announce that we now have in stock the best and largest selection of off-list AR low receivers in the North States. Looking for instruction in hunter safety, concealed carry, or Florida's concealed carry class? Bastiani Arms provides the finest instruction with our NRA training.
60. Call Fire Radio on KCNR 1460. Call on Linda Bott. Linda has got whatever everybody else has that's swept through the station, and she'll be back hopefully by tomorrow. 8:42 in the morning. It's January the 11th. This portion of the show brought to you by Tobacco and Brew, 2143 Hilltop Drive. Espresso Joe's got great coffee at great prices, any kind you possibly could want. Also, the finest walk-in humidor in California. That's Tobacco and Brew. Joe and Shelley support our community, support our veterans, and they support our freedom of speech and our individual rights. I promise you that they are there right there with us and guarding our liberties. Our guest today, Don Yost, chairman for the northern three counties of the ACLU, and Tim Pappas, legal counsel for the Northern Tea Party Alliance. So let's go to the phones. Greg, good morning. You are on KCNR.
Good morning, Carl. Good morning, Tim and Don.
Good morning. Good morning.
Reading, this is the Bostonian Tea Party and the North State Tea Party Alliance representation, as I call in. Anyway, curious as to why, in the course of the conversation, we continue to do the free speech over and over again, which is, in the modern realm, low-hanging fruit for abuses and misinterpretation, and why we don't focus more attention on the freedom of assembly, which hasn't been tested and abused in the court system quite as much. I know that they are both First Amendment rights, and they are both integral to that portion of the First Amendment. Should we be focusing more attention on that? Also, in regards to radios or television programming, whatever, I would think it would be much more difficult to assail the idea of freedom of assembly in some of the new technology forums that we have.
Well, freedom of assembly, believe it or not, when the U.S. Supreme Court is talking about the freedom of speech, they often bring up freedom of assembly, the right to redress your grievances before the government, and they have a tendency to kind of meld them together when they're talking about the First Amendment, notwithstanding that they have individual impact depending on the situation.
Okay, Greg, thanks a lot for your question. And we've got, let's go to Sue Ann. Sue Ann, you are on KCNR Live.
Hi.
Hello.
This is Sue Ann Prigmore.
Hi, Sue Ann.
The reason I'm calling is, you know, Tim Pappas, I'm going to say hello to everybody first, but when this library first came about, Tim, I called him, but you know, if it hadn't been for his willingness to do this pro bono for free, I wouldn't have had anybody to call, because who can afford to fight things like this? So I think the real patriot here is Tim Pappas for doing this. He's just been great through all this. He has devoted countless hours to working on this. So he really deserves a big thank you from all of us.
Well, thanks, Sue Ann. And thanks, Tim. You know what, was it Sue Ann that started this?
Yes, it was.
Well, Sue Ann, there's a big, big round of applause for you, and let me ring this for you. Okay, that's just ringing the bell because you're a great American, because you stood up for yourself. No, you've got to stand up for yourself. The last song we play here is I Won't Back Down.
Excuse me, that's part of it. You know, he was calling me one brave lady. I don't see it that way at all. I am so absolutely fed up with our freedom slowly taken away from us. You know, they do it increment by increment, and they play to our hearts and our souls, and they make us feel bad if we deny some poor person or some freedom to somebody. And then here we get this huge, huge, big thing like welfare program that at one time we would have never voted for the whole thing. And the same way with our freedoms, they just gradually, every law they pass, they take away one little bit of our freedom. And at some point, you've got to stop it. And I wish I could remember the founder's name, but one of them said something that you have to stop, intervene at the very beginning of any time they start encroaching on your freedoms. And I know someone said to me, but why make a big fight over this? Well, I think it's worth it because it's just one, the first step, and no telling where it'll go after
well, it
that.
Is, it is worth it, Sue Ann, and thank you very, very much for, you know, having the, for having, you know, the, you know, being perceptive to say, you know what, this is just the first step. And
well,
I'm not going to stand for it.
No, we all need to do that.
Okay, Sue Ann, thank
and
you so
thank
much.
Thank you.
You bet.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Coach Bob, you're on line two.
Hi.
Hey. You're on.
Yeah, this is Coach Bob. John was talking about the defense fund. I'd like to point out that the city also has a defense fund. Actually, it's an offense fund, and it's called the taxpayer dollar. And it seems to me anything that is required to fight nonsense like this should be repaid to the people that contribute to that defense fund from the city's offense fund. Always seems right to get our money back. That's all.
Okay. Thank you, Coach Bob. Hey, we've got just a few minutes here before the break and all that. And, okay, we know that you're coming back after the meeting. We want to discuss this and keep this alive and not just one side of it. We like to keep, you know, all sides of it open. You know, Record Searchlight has, you know, has had articles about it, but we want you all back. This, the newest ammunition law, and this is what's coming up now, where people are having to be fingerprinted to buy a box of 22 ammunition. Is this a freedom thing? Is this a constitutional thing at all?
Every regulation on firearms is one additional step towards absolute control. Yes, of course it is. It's the government's way of encroaching on the Second Amendment. And they've gotten away with it for so many years because the U.S. Supreme Court sat silent until the Heller decision, followed by the McDonald decision, about the strength of the Second Amendment and how it applies to the states. But it was too late before the states and local entities passed over 25,000 firearm control laws.
Don?
You know, that's not my area of expertise.
So okay. All right, so, you know, and I respect that, you know, that you're not jumping into talking about things like me, about things I have no idea sometimes. We've got to take a break. You know, one of the things also is, you know, which we haven't gotten to when we come back is just, you know, this, just a quickie when we come back on, you know, the, you know, your thoughts on, you know, the tragedy that happened down in Arizona. There's been a lot said, and including a congressman that wants to introduce a law, and I want everybody just to think about this while we're on break. It's a congressman that wants a law, a legislation that would ban language and symbols that could be perceived as threatening any member of Congress or the government, right? Okay, we'll be back right after these messages.
Back. I won't back down.
Welcome back to Free Fire Radio on KCNR 1460, the home of Free Fire Media. Carl and Linda about 8:52 in the morning. Linda's not here because she's, you know, she's got so many things that she's got going, but she is just caught whatever is going around town. And when I left this morning, it was her heaters, you know, warm clothes, and Elk Killer laying up next to her. So, and Elk Killer's the dog. Okay. And by the way, an indie guy says, hey, Congress, I got your symbol right here, and I can just imagine what that was. This portion of the show brought to you by Mike's Music at 243-3774. They've got big sales going on after Christmas. Great prices on any instrument. They'll show you how to use them, and you've got music lessons. They've got a great place there. Linda goes there, and she's when she's rehearsing with her groups, and Mike's Music at 243-3774. Give them a call. You'll be really happy that you did. We strongly recommend Mike's. Okay, our guests today are Tim Pappas, legal counsel for the Northern Tea Party Alliance, and Don Yost, who's the chairman for the Northern Counties for the ACLU of Shasta, Tehama, and Trinity. And we're here talking about rights in our own here, River City. But when we come back, we've got just like 2 minutes here. That thing I talked about right before we left about proposed legislation for making it illegal that's going to ban language and symbols that could be perceived to threaten a member of Congress or the government.
I think that the use of the word perceived is just makes it so vague. I can't see how it possibly can be legal. It can't... it's up to anybody's interpretation what perceived
yeah,
is supposed
what if you
to
said
be.
Something like this, you idiot, you need to be removed. Is that a threat?
Well, under the word perceived, it could be, which is why it's vague and ambiguous
yeah.
and violates the First Amendment.
Yeah. So, I mean, I'm not talking about killing them. I'm talking about being voted out of Congress.
Absolutely.
But that can be, this is dangerous.
Absolutely. And this is one of those things I said. It's one small step towards restricting a constitutional right. They could write a law, like California has one, where if you threaten great bodily injury or death on another person, and the threat is such that a reasonable person would believe that you were about to carry it out or that you had the capability of carrying it out, it's a crime. Now, that's narrowly tailored. That's fine, because we don't want people going around threatening to kill or hurting somebody with grave injury. But this, that Congress is proposing, is a knee-jerk reaction to an event that has occurred, so they're using a motion to qualify
yeah,
this restriction.
It's another one of those individual, something that's happened one time or a single event that you want to make legislation over.
Yep.
That's very dangerous.
Absolutely. But our legislatures are very famous at doing that.
Well, you know what? They are such... They are so easily swayed, you know, and when you get ones that aren't, you just have to, like, treasure them. You know, at least you know what they stand for. You may not agree with them, but at least you know what they stand for. It's the ones that go back and forth. That, oh, God, we've got to run over here, and you got to run over there. It's like, you know, it's just amazing. You know, Don? Hey, Don, we just got a minute here. Just kind of give us a brief synopsis of what you think here is going to happen with the library.
Once again, we have a wait-and-see attitude. I'm hoping that the city will come up with some reasonable guidelines that we can, both the Tea Party and the ACLU, are comfortable with. But
well, that should cover almost everybody, I would imagine, everybody in between.
I would hope so.
Is there, you know that everybody can agree is that on this, then? And Tim?
Absolutely. And, you know, when you can't help but look at some of the blogs when the Record Searchlight puts these articles out, the editorials, and it amazes me how many people, based on the rules that were proposed, were willing to roll over like a happy puppy dog and lick the city's hand, thanking them for such gracious policies. That's ridiculous. It's absurd. Anybody willing to roll over and accept this as reasonable under the First Amendment doesn't understand the First Amendment.
Well, I don't think that this is going to happen. I mean, you all are involved with it. We're involved with it. I'm sure there's other people that are involved with this. That we just need to. If you want to make some rules about behavior, okay, I got no problem with that because at some point, some people's behavior needs to be modified. But when you start restricting, as you all have jumped into this, full bore, and I applaud you all. I applaud you for doing. I applaud Sue Ann for bringing it up, for fighting for our freedoms, gentlemen.
Thank you.
Sometimes you're maybe at odds on other things. So, you know what? My friends, I wish you could hear during the breaks how much they all agree on here. I'm going, oh, my goodness. So much for controversy on this show. I know that doesn't happen very often. Anyway, thank you so much, Don.
You're welcome.
And Tim, thank you so much for being on
thank
the
you.
Show. You know, one of the announcements we were talking about on the blogs, and I just wanted to announce that I will be starting a blog on the Record Searchlight on veterans affairs, not politics, not on lifestyles or anything like that, but it'll be about veterans affairs, about those, about our veterans, about agencies that can help veterans, about facts that veterans can use and non-veterans can use also to kind of let our veteran community, and we're such a large community of veterans up here in the North State, give some information, provide a forum there for our veterans. And that's what it's going to be restricted to. You're not going to see other stuff like, as important as this is on our First Amendment. We're doing. And the last thing is I'd really like to thank a gentleman by the name of Tom, and Tom can do it, he's a handyman, that there was water pouring out of our backyard. Tom took it upon himself to go, he looks over there, knocks on the door, there's nobody there, and he then turns off our water to save us because the water's just pouring out of the backyard. He calls our alarm company and says, this is what I did. And Tom, how brilliant are you, and what a good neighbor you are. We don't know you, but I just like to do a shout-out to him. And what did happen is then they called us, and it turns out it was an outside sprinkler, so it was easy to fix it. So it wasn't underneath the house or anything. But just this, as a human being and a neighbor and a good citizen, what can I say? And it's Tom Can Do It, and I'm sure he's in the papers. And tomorrow I'll give out his name, or we'll give out his phone number. But what a fine fellow.
Watching out for each other.
There you go. How much time we got there, Bad Bob?
It's time to wrap it up, sir.
Okay, tomorrow we're going to have Larry Lees is going to be on. He's going to talk about the impact that this budget is going to have on Shasta County. And just remember, it's the good guys against the bad guys. Which are you?
You've been listening to KCNR Shasta Reading.